Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Yes. Together we can remake the world. That is the purpose and intention. Together we will remake the world with the help of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, who has truly blessed us today. Good morning. Assalamu alaikum. It is Tuesday. And on American Muslim 360, and today is we're going to talk about the lives of the prophets by Ibn Kathir. My name is William Kareem. I should let you know that. We have been talking about the lives of the prophets since the beginning of the year, and right now we're on prophet number 20, and that is the prophet David or Dawood. Last week when we talked, we were talking about David challenges Goliath, and so it read, when the two armies faced each other, Goliath challenged any soldier from King Saul's army to single combat, as was the custom of battle in those days. Goliath also wanted to show off his strength. The men were terrorized, and no one had enough courage to volunteer. The king offered the hand of his pretty daughter in marriage to the man who would fight Goliath. But even this tempting offer did not change the deadly silence among his soldiers. Can you imagine? I'll give you my daughter. I'll give you my daughter's hand. Listen, man, you know, not even your daughter's hand is going to get me out there to get killed. And talk about me going out there. So, continuing. Then, to everyone's surprise, a youth stepped forward. A roar of laughter echoed from the enemy side, and even Saul's men shook their heads. The young man was David, or Daoud, from the city of Bethlehem. His elderly father had chosen three of his sons to join Saul's army. He had instructed the youngest one, David, not to take part in the fighting, but to help the army in other ways and to report to his father daily on what was happening on the war front. So, you know, David was just there, you know, carrying water and, you know, witnessing what was going on and whatever help that he could be. You know, he was just a young man. Then, so let me see. Okay. Although Saul was very impressed by the young man's courage, he said, I admire your courage, but you are no match for this mighty warrior. Let the strong men come forward. David, however, had already decided and was willing to meet the challenge. Proudly, he told the king that only the day before he had killed a lion, which had threatened his father's sheep. And on another occasion, he had killed a bear. He asked Saul not to judge him by his appearance, for he feared no man or wild beast. Saul, surprised by the young man's brave stance, agreed, my brave soldier, if you are willing, then may Allah guard you and grant you strength. So, just to let you know, that, I mean, just take a look at this here. Here it is, a young man. I mean, he's a young man. He might have been a teenager, but Allah had prepared him all this time, from the time that he was born, tested his character, gave him a slingshot with some rocks, and tested him by allowing him to kill a bear. I mean, you know, he's just a young man, you know, like guarding his father's sheep, but he tested him. He sent a bear after him, and David was successful. He sent a lion after him, and David was successful. So there's some insight now that David has. He knows how to defeat Goliath, but King Saul and the soldiers don't know what he knows. But Allah had planned this. I'm just speaking, you know, I'm not reading from the story. I just want the audience to understand, you know, how Allah prepares. Now, it was the same thing with Musa or Moses. We see how Allah planned for him because Allah told his mother, inspired him to throw him in the water. And then, you know, what happened, you know, all of a sudden, you know, like as time goes past, Musa was prepared for this. And it would be the same thing with our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He was prepared for this mission. So, and it may be said that many of us have been prepared for the mission. Our children are being prepared for the mission. This is what history tells us about how Allah works through the human being in order to prepare us. So David and Goliath fight. The king dressed David in battle armor and handed him a sword. But David was not used to wearing battle dress. He felt uncomfortable in it, and it was obstructed by his movement. He removed the armor, then collected a few pebbles and filled his leather pouch with them. He slung it over his shoulder next to his sling. With his wooden staff in hand, he began to walk towards the enemy. Saul was worried and asked him how on earth, with a sling and a couple of stones, was he going to defend himself against the giant. David replied, Allah, who protected me from the claws of the bear and the fangs of the lion, will certainly protect me from this brute. When Goliath set eyes on the lean young man who looked like a boy, he laughed loudly and roared, "Ha, ha, ha, ha! Are you out to play war with one of your playmates? Or are you tired of your life? I will simply cut off your head with one swipe of my sword." David shouted back, "You may have armor, you may have a shield, and you may have a sword, but I face you in the name of Allah, the Lord of the Israelites, whose laws you have mocked. Today you will see that it is not the sword that kills, but the will and power of Allah." Shoo, Lord, that is something that we definitely have to remember. So saying, he took his sling and placed in it a pebble from his pouch. He swung and aimed it at the Goliath. The pebble shot from the whirling sling with the speed of an arrow and hit Goliath's head with great force. Blood gushed forth, and Goliath thumped to the ground, lifeless, before he had a chance to draw his sword. When the rest of his men, Goliath's men, saw this mighty hero slain, they took to their heels. The Israelites followed in hot pursuit, taking revenge for their years of suffering at the hands of their enemy, killing every soldier they could lay hands on. In this battle, the Israelites regained the glory and honor that had been lost for a long time. David became a hero overnight. Saul kept his word and married his daughter, Michal, to the young warrior and took him under his wing as one of his chief advisors. So now we move forward. Allah gives David the kingdom. Oh, boy, but you haven't heard the story yet, brothers and sisters. You haven't heard the story yet. So Almighty Allah declared in Quran, let's see, I have to make sure, okay, they became a hero overnight. So they routed them, this is from Quran, Bismillahirrahman and Ahim. So they routed them by Allah's leave, and David killed Goliath, and Allah gave him, David, the kingdom after the death of Saul and Samuel and wisdom. So he gave him the kingdom and he gave him wisdom and taught him of that which he willed. And if Allah did not check one set of people by means of another, the earth would indeed be full of mischief. But Allah is full of bounty to the mankind. Surah 2, verse 251. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pause right here just for a moment to let you know that you have a front row seat on what is going on today, for you are witnessing revelation that Allah reveals to us from his Quran. You actually are watching it play out today in real time. So just remember that. The Holy Quran, our book of guidance, tells us that it says, and if Allah did not check one set of people by means of another, the earth would indeed be full of mischief. But Allah is full of bounty to mankind. So those who shed blood and make mischief, yeah, Allah puts them in check. Continuing. David becomes a prophet. Now, how do you think this comes about, David becoming a prophet? Well, he had to continue to be right-minded, to develop his character. Yeah, he could have went astray at any time, but Allah had put him some strength in his character, and he didn't go astray. So now reading the story. David becomes a prophet. David became the most famous man among the Israelites. However, he had not envisioned this. He was not a prisoner of fame. He was not a person of he was not a prisoner of fame or leadership, but a prisoner of Allah's love. Now, you see, there's a difference here. He was not a prisoner, so in other words, he was not one who sought fame or leadership, but he was more looking for, you know, a prisoner of Allah's love, one of character, one who appreciated the grace and mercy of his Lord. So therefore, after killing Goliath, he went out into the desert in the company of nature, glorifying Almighty Allah and contemplating his favors that have been put upon him. And so, from the Quran, it says, verily, we made the mountains to glorify our praises with him, David. In the after the midday till sunset, and Ishraq, after the sunrise till midday, and so did the birds assembled, all with him, David, did turn to Allah, glorified his praises. He made his kingdom strong and gave him wisdom and sound judgment in speech and decision. Surah 38, verse 18 through 20. Creatures such as the plants, birds, beasts, and even the mountains responded to his voice, glorifying Allah. Allah had chosen David to be a prophet and revealed the Psalms to him, as he, the Almighty, said, and to David he gave the Psalms. Okay, so this is basically telling us that, remember in the beginning, you know, with Adam, it says Allah taught Adam the nature of things and told Adam, said, tell them about their Psalms. And he started to name, you know, the creation. So this is what David is doing when it says creatures such as plants, birds, beasts, and even the mountains responded to his voice glorifying Allah. Allah had chosen David to be a prophet and revealed the Psalms to him, as he, the Almighty, said, and to David we gave the Psalms. That's Surah 17, verse 55. All right, so we continue. David is granted the language of animals. See, some people will, you know, this is spooky. It's not spooky. He was a person that was blessed. He was favored to have the insight, just like he had the insight as far as what a sling and pebbles to do. He had been given insight because Allah had found him worthy. David recited his scriptures and glorified Allah while the mountains joined him praising and the birds rallied around him. Allah declared in Quran, be patient, O Muhammad, of what they say, and remember our slave David endured with power. Verily, he was ever off returning in all matters and in repentance towards Allah. Surah 38, verse 17. And this is what happens when Allah blesses us. When Allah blesses us, then this is where the revelation, things are revealed to us. Because Allah goes ahead and favors us because we give Allah praise and glorification. So David's sincerity was not the only factor responsible for the birds and the beasts joining with him in glorifying Allah, nor was the sweetness of his voice. It was a miracle from Allah. So Allah, remember the pause. So here it tells us that Allah placed a miracle upon David because of his praise and glorification to Allah. Because of the good that he was able to do, Allah gave him insight, and it was like a miracle. So this is what miracles are. This is what miracles are. Allah, we could see that Allah places miracles upon human beings, about individuals. and then individuals have the capability of performing. Now, okay, so this is what it means when it says it was a miracle from Allah. So continuing, this was not his only miracle, for Allah also endowed him with the faculty of understanding the languages of birds and animals. See, that's what I'm talking about. This was a blessing that Allah had placed on David. So you say, yo, well, why can't I? Why can't I understand the language of birds and animals? That's what we say. Well, how come I don't see that today? I don't know nobody that can talk to the birds and animals. Well, why is it? That's why I don't believe it, because it's not done today. Well, why is that? Maybe we don't see it like that because, you know, maybe we don't see people who give praise and glorification to the degree that David gave praise and glorification. Maybe that's why. Maybe there's a whole lot that you have to do to qualify for a miracle to be placed upon us. It's a lot that we have to do. And it's not impossible. It's possible. And maybe many of us are under the miracle of Allah right now today. Maybe that's the case. So, continuing, because you know, the story is going to tell us why it happened. David fasted every other day. Abdullah ibn Amir narrated, Allah's apostle, peace be upon him, said to me, the most beloved fasting to Allah was the fasting of the prophet David, who used to fast alternate days, and the most beloved prayer to Allah was the prayer of David, who used to sleep the first half of the night and pray for one-third of it and again sleep for a sixth of it. That's from Salih al-Bukhari. Again, from Salih al-Bukhari. Ibn Amir ibn al-As also narrated, the prophet, peace be upon him, said to him, I have been informed that you pray all the nights and observe fast all the days. Is that true? So, I got to make sure that this is right. So it says, in quotations, I have to do it like this. The prophet, peace be upon him, said to me, so this is from, you know, Abdullah, you know, who's saying that the prophet is talking to him. The prophet said to me, I have been informed that you pray all the night and observe fast all the days. Is that true? So this is what Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is asking Abdullah ibn Amir. And he said, yes. Abdullah ibn Amir said, yes. So the prophet said, you do so, your eyes will be weak and you will get bored. So fast 3 days a month, for this will be the fasting of a whole year, or equal to the fasting of a whole year. I said, meaning Abdullah ibn Amir said, I find myself to fast more. He said, then fast like the fasting of the prophet David, peace be upon him, who used to fast on alternate days and would not flee on facing the enemy. And that's again from Salih Bukhari. Okay. So, now, here's another blessing. This is another blessing that Allah put on David, or Daoud, whichever way you want to say it. Iron becomes flexible for David. Allah granted David great influence. His people had a great number of wars in their time, but they had a problem with that the iron armor was too heavy for the fighter to move and fight as he wished. It was said that David was sitting one day contemplating this problem while toying with a piece of iron. Suddenly, he found his hand sinking in the iron. Almighty Allah had made it flexible for him. And we made the iron soft for him. That's from Surah 34, verse 10. That says, and we made the iron soft for him. So now, David's not king yet. He's not king. He's not the king yet. So Saul becomes jealous of David. Okay? Saul, the king, becomes jealous of David. The people, this is from the story, the people praised and loved David. However, the hearts of men are fickle and their memories short. Even great men can feel insecure and become petty-minded. One day, David found Saul in a worried state. He sensed something strange in Saul's attitude towards him. That night, when he shared his feelings with his wife, she started to weep bitterly and said, in quotation marks, "Oh, David, I will never keep any secrets from you." She told him that her father had become jealous of his popularity and feared that he would lose his kingdom to him. She advised him to be on his guard. This information shocked David very much. He prayed and hoped that Saul's good nature would overcome the darker side of his character. So now David knows something that the king doesn't know. And so David's whole thing is to pray. Now, this is not the story. This is William Carrito. The information shocked David very much. He prayed in hope that Saul's good nature would overcome the darker side of his character. That's what the story says. So that's what David had to do in order to handle this situation. What he had to do? He had to pray because he knew something that Saul didn't know. So continuing in the story, the following day, Saul summoned David to inform him that Canaan had gathered its forces and would march on the kingdom. He ordered David to advance on them with the army and not to return unless victory was gained. The story continues. David sensed that this was an excuse to get rid of him. Either the enemy would kill him, or in the thick of battle, Saul's henchmen might stab him in the back. Yet he hastened with his troops to meet the army of Canaan. They fought the Canaanites bravely without thinking of their own safety. Allah granted them victory, and David lived to return to Saul. This is another part of the story. Saul's plot to kill David. Whew. This is getting interesting. Unfortunately, this only increased Saul's fear. So he plotted to kill David. Such is jealousy that even a daughter's well-being, now let me make sure I'm reading this right. Such is jealousy that even a daughter's well-being mattered. Michelle learned of her father's plan and hurried to warn her husband. David gathered some food and things, mounted his camel, and fled. He found a cave in which he remained hidden for many days. After a time, David's brothers and some citizens joined forces with him. Wow. Saul's position became very weak, for he began to rule with a heavy hand. He ill-treated the learned. We are witness to revelation today. We have a front row seat. Let us listen to this again, y'all. After a time, David's brothers and some citizens joined forces with him. So he's hiding in the cave, and David's brothers and some citizens who, you know, didn't think that what Saul was doing was right, so they joined him. They joined forces with him. Saul's position became very weak, for he began to rule with a heavy hand. He ill-treated the learned, all right? He ill-treated the learned, tortured the reciters of the Talmud, and terrorized his soldiers. This worsened his position. We are witnesses to Revelation. We have a front row seat, y'all. This worsened his position, and his subjects began to turn against him. He decided to go to war against David. Hearing this news, David marched to confront Saul's army. Woo. Although it was now, I think that you know Allah mentioned Saul in Quran, you know, and mentioned Saul. So David becomes king. Okay, we'll continue this story. Time passed, and Saul was killed in a battle in which David did not take part. David succeeded Saul, for the people remembered what he had done for them and elected him king. So it was that David, the prophet, was also a king. Okay, we got that? So David, he wasn't looking to be a king. He was just, you know, one who was blessed by Allah's grace. He was just one that was blessed by Allah's grace. And so that's how it says that David was a prophet, because, you know, like Allah had given him so many miracles. Okay? All right, so continuing the story. Allah strengthened the dominion of David and made him victorious. His kingdom was strong and great. His enemies feared him without engaging in war with him. You got that? Do we get that? David strengthened the dominion of David and made him victorious. His kingdom was strong and great. His enemies feared him without engaging in war with him. Wow. They feared him because they witnessed his miracles. They witnessed him. They witnessed the blessings and the favor that Allah had placed upon him. That's what they witnessed. They witnessed how he was as a young man who went up against Goliath. They witnessed his ability to talk to the birds and the things that he brought out of the creation, especially when we talk about, you know, made the iron soft for him. They witnessed the way that Saul was cruel and mean to him, so much so that he had to flee. But because of people believed in David, what they did is his brothers and other people came to join him, and David was able to gather an army, and he went up against Saul, and Saul was killed in a battle in which David didn't even take part in that battle. So David succeeded Saul, for people remembered what he had done. So that's important. People will remember what it is that we do. People will remember. And when it comes time for positions, this is what I'm saying. People remember what we do. And when it comes time for positions, people believe that we have the capabilities of taking care of it. And so we get elected from what we do. Because people remember, hey, they ain't going to tell you all the time, you are so wonderful. They're not going to do that. But when it's time to make a decision, and this is me talking, when it comes time to make a decision, people watch us and say, well, you know, let's give the opportunity to so-and-so. And that's why it said that the one who wants to be imam is not the one to be elected. That's why it said. That's why that is said. The one who wants to be imam, yo, elect me as the imam. Nah, you ain't ready, bro. I'll take care of it. You elect me. Nah, bro. You have to be, the people have to elect the imam, the ones that they see, who's the capabilities and the possibilities. That's the best way to do it. So David, so the story continues. But before we continue, I have to play a PSA. And the PSA to play on Tuesday is the PSA for courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen, that's right, today at 7 p.m., courtship and marriage. And I would also invite you to tune in to A New Day Community Radio from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. today, where I will be talking about why Muslim Americans don't want to get married. That's the name of the show, but many times we cover other topics, but, you know, basically about human relationships. And the reason why we do this, why Muslim Americans don't want to get married, is that we have taken the responsibility to continue to remind the men that it is their responsibility to be protectors and maintainers of our women. It's important for our men to do certain things to make sure that they're available. So we make sure that we continuously remind them of the things that they have to do, because, you know, the world is, we live in a distracted world, a world where, you know, things can be distracted, and is always calling for the attention of our young men, always. So continuing the reading about David, we move on from David now to David's son Solomon, peace be upon him. So David had a son named Solomon, Suleiman, who was intelligent and wise from childhood, when the following story took place. Solomon was 11 years old. Now, again, let us take into consideration, brothers and sisters. You see, David had a son named Solomon who was intelligent and wise from childhood. So here it is, Allah is preparing him from childhood. Preparing Solomon from childhood with what? The same thing that happened with David, the same thing that happened with our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, a man of good character. Of good character. David had a son, Suleiman, who was intelligent and wise from childbirth. When the following story took place, Solomon was 11 years old. One day David, the king, was sitting as usually, solving the problems of his people, when two men, one of whom had a field, came to him. The owner of the field said, "Oh, dear prophet, this man's sheep came to my field that night and ate up the grapes, and I have come to ask for compensation." Woo! Man, isn't that something? So David asked the owner of the sheep, "Is that true?" He said, "Yes, sir." David said, "I have decided that you give him your sheep in exchange for the field." Solomon, to whom Allah had given wisdom in addition to what he had inherited from his father, spoke up. Now, we talk about the child, 11 years old. He spoke up. That's what we're saying. That's what the story says. Solomon, to whom Allah had given wisdom in addition to what he had inherited from his father, spoke up. He said, in quotations, "I have another opinion. The owner of the sheep should take the field to cultivate until the grapes grow, while the other man should take the sheep and make use of their wool and milk until his field is repaired. If the grapes grow and the field returns to its former state, then the field owner should take his field and give back the sheep to the owner." End quote. David responded, "This is a sound judgment. Praise be to Allah for gifting you with wisdom. You are truly Solomon the Wise." Now, this happened when he was 11 years old. He could see. He could perceive. That's what we should say. He could perceive the problem. Because remember, it said that Allah had, that David had a son named Solomon who was intelligent and wise from childhood. And the following story took place when he was 11 years old. He had this ability. to judge wisely. Okay, so it continues. The story continues. David as a ruler. Prophet David was a just and righteous ruler who brought peace and prosperity to his people and whom Allah honored as a messenger. He delivered Allah's message to the people through the precious gift of his melodious voice. When he recited the Psalms, it was as if the rest of creation chanted with him. People listened as if in a trance. The messages David delivered are famous and well remembered. They are known in the Bible as the Psalms or Songs of David. David divided his working day into four parts. But before we go to that, it's just that I wanted to make this comment that David was blessed with a melodious voice. Remember that. And when he recited, you know, it was as people in a trance. So this is the situation that we have with people today, that people who have a melodious voice, you know, are blessed. But the question becomes, what is it that they are saying? When David recited the Psalms, when he recited the Psalms, it was as if the rest of creation chanted with him. People listened as if in a trance. The messages David delivered are famous and well-remembered. They are known in the Bible as the Psalms or Songs of David. So when the message and the melodious voice are put together, they are attractive. And a great message can be given to the people. So this is why, this is me talking, this is why music winds up haram. Because it's not to say that people don't have a melodious voice. Yeah, they're singing, you know, about, you know, the music. But the thing is, what is the lyrics behind it? That's what we have to listen to. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we have many halal artists and who have been blessed with melodious voices, who give praise and glorification to the creator of the heavens and the earth, and also have positive messages about, you know, what's going on in our lives. We are witnesses to revelation, front row seat to history. So, continuing. So, it says that they are known in the Bible as the Psalms or Songs of David. So, David divided his working day into four parts. One, to earn a living and to rest. One, to pray for to his Lord. One, to listen to the complaints of his people. And the last part, to deliver his sermons. He also appointed deputies to listen to his subjects' complaints so that in his absence, people's problems might not be neglected, okay? You see that? This is wonderful. This is giving us a solution to how to divide our days. David divided his working day into four parts. Now, okay? David, listen to this. David divided his working day into four parts. One, to earn a living and to rest. David had to earn a living? David had to earn a living? That's what it says. It's not saying that the people, you know, gave David money. It's not saying that. It says that David had to earn a living and to rest. That was one part of the day. So we got 24 hours. So 8 hours of work. 8 hours, one to pray to his Lord. That's another, that's more time. 8 hours to pray to his Lord, 8 hours. One to listen to the complaints of the people, 8 hours to do that, 8 hours to listen to the complaints of the people. And the last part, to deliver his sermon. So that's his four parts of the day. I don't know how he actually did it because, you know, the way that we go to sleep, well, I got to sleep from, you know, and then get up at 8 o'clock in the morning. And so, you know, he had to earn a living and rest for 8 hours a day. Earn a living and rest for 8 hours? So that must have meant that, look, he had to, what, sleep for 4 hours? Sleep for 4 hours? And then, you know, one to pray to his Lord, 8 hours? One to the listen to the complaint of his people, 8 hours? So it seems, look, it's just fascinating to me because it's like one to pray to his Lord, that must have taken place at night. Because if you're going to listen to the complaints of his people, I mean, that has to take a place in the daytime. And the last part to deliver his sermons, I mean, so that's another part of the day. It's not like he's praying to people at night. It's just something to consider. Just something to consider. So continuing. Although a king, he did not live on the income of his kingdom. You see right there. Although a king, he did not live on the income of his kingdom. Being well experienced in the craft of weapon making, he made and sold weapons and lived on that income. So now we know. Now we know. Angels teach David about fairness. This is the next part. So one day, well, let me do this here. Let me just say that, you know, like I got 12 minutes left in the program. If you have a question or comment, you can press 1 on your phone and I'll bring you into the queue. One day, as David was praying in his prayer niche, he ordered his guards not to allow anyone to interrupt him. But two men managed to enter and disturb him. "Who are you?" he asked. One of the men said, "Do not be frightened. We have a dispute and have come to you for judgment." David said, "What is it?" The first man said, "This is my brother, has 99 sheep, and I have one. He gave it to me and took it back." David, without hearing from the other party, said, "He did you wrong by taking the sheep back, and many partners oppress one another, except for those who are believers," end quote. The two men vanished like a cloud, and David realized that they were two angels sent to him to teach him a lesson. He should not have passed the judgment without hearing from the opposing party. Ah. Okay. So Almighty Allah told us of this incident. Let's see. Okay. Almighty Allah told us of this incident. I'm trying to see. It doesn't say that this is from Quran. In quotes, "And has the news of the litigants reached you? When they climbed over the wall into his maqrib, a prayer place or private room, when they entered in upon David, he was terrified of them. They said, 'Fear not, we are two litigants, one of whom has wronged the other. Therefore, judge between us with truth and treat us not with injustice and guide us to the right way. Verily, this is my brother in religion, has 99 ewes, while I have one.'" Okay, this is probably from Quran. I kind of remember reading this. It's from Quran. "Verily, this is my brother in religion, has 99 ewes." Let me see something. What is E-W-E-S? A female sheep. So when they talk about 99 ewes, they talk about having a female female sheep. That's what they're talking about. Okay. So it says, you know, my brother in religion has 99 ewes, female sheep, while I have only one ewe. And he says, "Hand it over to me." And he overpowered me in speech. David said immediately, without listening to the opponent, "He has wronged you in demanding your ewe in addition to his ewes. And verily, many partners oppress one another except those who believe and do righteous deeds, and they are few." And David guessed that he had tried him and he had sought forgiveness of his Lord, and he fell down prostrate and turned to Allah in repentance. So we forgave him that, and verily for him is an ear, a mirror, that's a typo here, And verily, for him is near access to us and as good place of final return for paradise. Now, I just mentioned this part right here because it says that, and verily for him is a near access to us. Because David prayed all the time. Remember, it said, you know, like he spent 8 hours in prayer. So he had, you know, near access to the creator of the heavens and the earth. So when something went wrong, he was, you know, the law was there for him. And when he made a mistake, what did he do? He turned to Allah in repentance. And that's the history of the human being, Adam. That's what made Adam. That is the saving grace that our father Adam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that he did for us. That when he made a mistake, he turned to Allah in repentance. First of all, he said, "Oh, I'm wrong," and then he asked for forgiveness, and Allah forgave him. Okay, and he wasn't like the rest of the creation, where he said, "Yeah, I did wrong. Yeah, what you gonna do about it?" Don't you know some people like that today? Yeah, so what? I shot him. Yeah, so what? I pushed him in front of the train. Yeah, so what? I gave false witness against him. Yeah, so what? Yeah, so I cursed him out. Oof. So we should have near access to our Lord. Yes, that's the one. So you know, that's it. So the story says and David guessed that he had been tried, and he sought forgiveness of his Lord, and he fell down prostrate and turned to Allah in repentance. So we forgave him that. And verily, for him is a near access to us and as a good place for final return in the paradise. O David, verily we have placed you as a successor on earth. So judge you between men and truth and justice, and follow not your desires, for it will mislead you from the path of Allah. Verily, those who wander astray from the path of Allah shall have a severe torment because they forgot the day of reckoning. Surah 38, verse 21 through 26. Okay. So I got a couple of seconds left in the program, and I'm going to open up a microphone to 810-399. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Wa alaikum assalam to you, Brother William Kareem, and to the AM360 family. This is Deprita Adi calling from Flint, Michigan. And I just want to let you know, alhamdulillah, how we appreciate you coming on and sharing this information with us. And, you know, as you were mentioning, as the prophet David, praise and peace of Allah be upon him, is that how he had to give to the people time. He had to, take care of different businesses and things. He had to pray to his Lord. But of all of that, he gave most of his time in prayer. And this is why he was so blessed, with the things that he had, because he gave himself to his Lord. And that just brings me, and I'll be quick here,
Take your time, sir.
Okay. You know, today how we give more time to everything. And we want to give a little time, the smallest portion of our day, we want to give it to the God. But when we give the most time to everything else, that does have really anything to do with the progression of our lives.
I mean,
we think it is, but it doesn't. And when you were speaking on how the prophet Davis was, was giving up his time like that, I'm thinking, and it's just what Allah tells us in the Quran. It says that we give up so much of time, it takes us away from the most important things. Because when we're serving Allah, then that's the most important thing in life. And one of the things, did you say that David was the father of Solomon?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
We really appreciate you. We appreciate this information. Yes, sir.
All right. Wa'alaikum as-salam. And thank you so much. Thank you, sister, for that, because, yes. But see what happened? But you see how that goes? That David, because of his blessing, because of his praise and glorification to the creator of the heavens and the earth, that blessing passed down to his son.
Yeah.
That's what happened. It wasn't only that David was blessed with all the many miracles in his life that Allah had given him, but Allah had also sent that miracle down to his son, Solomon. And
yes.
that's how Allah operates. Look at our sojourn here in the American circumstance. No one can say that from Africa to America, and even though with all the falsehoods and everything that they put among our people, the African Americans, the black people, the people that were brought over here as slaves, that Allah has not continued to progress us. Now, there are many that haven't been progressed, but the ones who continue to give praise and glorification and seek the repentance, and I'm just seeing it, you know, I see it more from the religious community. I see it from the religious community that all of the religious communities, when you give that, then, you know, like it's going to move down into the generations. Thank you. I'm going to take this other call, Sister DePreci. I have you. Thank you so very much. Well, leave my song. All right, we have another telephone call. And this telephone call is 706-627. As-salamu alaykum. Your microphone is open.
Wa alaykum as-salam. It's Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. I think when we get if we reflect on, say, wow, all the stuff that's going on in America and around the world, still, like you said, Allah's mercy is upon the believers, especially his servants, who he knows best. He is guiding us into establishing this model community for all of humanity. And we should be so thankful that people of color who are related to each other by color and by names that their society or their culture or their country gave them, they still see that it is the believers amongst them who are, by Allah's protection and mercy, is keeping them in a situation where they can help those who are going through that kind of stuff. The more we perfect our model example of how to establish peace, freedom, justice, and equality amongst ourselves. And we have a wonderful example in the United States of America, because we have the descendants of the ex-slaves who are showing that all of this that happened to them, that is the ones who believe that God helped them out of slavery. God sent them into slavery for a purpose, to show the world in these final steps of our development, and getting ready to go into another reality that's way beyond our human conception. But we know it's there, because it's already been promised to us that it's waiting on us. The victory is already ours. So we still have to come to the understanding. We got to walk through this veil. It ain't a brick wall now, like it is for the Jews and other people who have ran into a brick wall in their disbelief. We still have an opportunity just to walk right on out of this world of influence of the shaitan and all of the many ways of life that he has put on the human family. But he can't do that to Al-Islam. It's going to be the only one, whether anybody like it or not, or understand it. Or you might benefit from it, but you might lose a leg. You might lose a whole community. You might lose three-quarters of your people. But you will be free in the end if you believe. And that is the responsibility that we have for our own selves and our children, so that other children and other people of the world can finally reach the nation of freedom, justice, and equality for all of those who believe in Allah. He didn't say in Jesus Christ or Buddha or whatever. He said who believe in Allah in the last day and the hereafter. Very important that we come to this concept and ask Allah to please help us. make do out of him, to get rid of he could put the shaitan in the hellfire, and he best know who's supposed to go with him. But us believers, we ready to go to work. You know, it ain't going to get no better. We're so high-tech and got so much resources to balance back out and use for the good of all the humanity and to show a lot that we worship him and him alone. I mean, just want to say that.
Brothers, you said a mouthful here, brother, that's for sure. And, you know, I mean, that's the truth. I mean, the truth has been spoken, and we appreciate that presentation that you made. That's a humbly laugh for that. Well, so listen, we basically run out of time, but, you know, what we're going to do is next week we'll start off with the death of Prophet David. We'll start off there. And we already let you know that, you know, Solomon or Suleiman was the son of David. So, you know, what we'll do is we'll continue and talk about the death of Prophet David and then go into Prophet Suleiman. I thank you so very much, brothers and sisters, for joining me this morning on The Lives of the Prophets by Ibn Kathir. There's so much that we can get from this that we have gotten. If you've been listening since the beginning of the year, I mean, there is so much. We should all remember that we are witnesses to revelation today, that Allah's revelation is playing out. Remember, Allah always sends the people, you know, a message. Hey, get yourself together, brother. Get yourself together, sister. Get yourself together, or I'm going to have to step in. And that's what we're witnessing today, that, you know, some people need to get their self together. Because the thing is that it's taking place in the Holy Land, on sacred ground, where much of the revelation comes from. The prophets, this is the land where the prophets come from. And you think that the creator of the heavens and the earth is going to continue to allow that? Well, brothers and sisters, you have a front row seat. We have a front row seat today. And as the Quran says, wait ye, because I too am waiting. Get your popcorn ready. And we're going to go out with this PSA. Assalamu alaikum. Until next time.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.